Bye. Hello, dear friends. Welcome to Radio Blast. Today we are here with some guests in our studio. We have Brother Joseph, like always. Hi.
Oh, bless you. How's everything? Everybody ready?
Yes.
See, we have a good team today.
And we have also Deborah here.
Hello. I send lots of blessings, and I have with me two of the youngest children.
Jasmine. John.
And how old are you?
7 years old.
I'm four.
You are four? That's a big man. Tell us, John, you have a message you want to give us today?
Yes.
And what is it?
I will tell you. Upon thee, you have mercy and goodness and joy upon you. Through the words that I have spoken unto you, you have clean hearts what I have spoken.
Amen. May the Lord help us to have clean hearts. You want to say more?
John 15. I am the vine, and I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it will bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that beareth fruit, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bring forth more fruit.
Amen, Johnny.
Praise the Lord.
Wait, come back.
Can I take by myself?
What are you taking?
Nuts.
You're taking nuts from Daddy's office.
That's his shine, a prize for quoting scriptures.
And we have Jasmine.
Hi, it's nice to be seven.
All right. And what is your message for the brethren today?
God loves you a lot and do his will and...
Amen.
I have a scripture.
Okay.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12.
That was Hebrews 4:12. God bless you. Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. So, about your shadow place.
How much?
It's up to you.
All it.
Praise the Lord.
Give some to me.
All right. Thank you so much, Deborah. Bye. Thank you, children. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. They're emptying all your nuts, Joseph.
Really? Hey, but I don't know if you had enough scripture for all those nuts. Maybe you're taking advantage that you're live on the radio here.
They took everything.
They took everything. Well, hey, next time, I'm going to check better. All right. Praise the Lord.
They are beautiful. Joseph always says that the children keep us young.
Yeah.
It yes, is true.
The Bible talks a lot about, old wineskin full of old wine. We have to be very careful not to get old in the spirit. You can be older, Amen. 20 years old. You can be younger, 70 and 80. John the Apostle was around 90, so more or less, in the Isle of Patmos where he received the revelation. The revelation of the book of Revelation, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was young. At 90 years old, he was a young man in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
We start our program today. I would like to ask you, Joseph, to help us understand some of the Bible prophecies. We have some brethren who wrote in asking a clarification. Magog of the book of Ezekiel 38. Is it Russia or is it Turkey? And that because there are all kind of interpretation that you find around the internet. Some people say it is Russia. Others explain as being Turkey because of some maps that prove it. So can you tell us, help us to know exactly the truth?
Well,
because it's essential. That's where the Antichrist yes. will come from.
Yes. Well, you know, if you go to the internet, you probably find even other interpretations, you know. In fact, I've seen some very phantasmagoric things, really, the fantasy, you know, it's big, it's great. So, Well, all this interpretation, they have one thing in common, like lack of scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, sometimes they quote a scripture or two, and then they build a skyscraper on top of opinions and theories.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to be right because, you know, you're like politicians, you know. Politicians, doesn't matter which politics you listen to, they seem to be all right. Because they get a slice of truth, the politicians, and build on it. And there is nothing around. There's no way you can go around it. They are right in that particular section. Communists will be right in this, and the fascists and will be right in something else, and the Islamic will be right in this, and the Catholic Church will be right in that, in religions area, and the Protestant will be right in something else. I mean, people are not stupid. They always pick something that they can teach about, you know.
But you know very well that there is not such a scripture in the Bible that says Magog is Russia, Magog is Turkey. There is nothing like that.
Well, but there are parables, there are like allegories, and there are actually guidance in the Bible, which if you dig a little bit, it leads to the locations. Well, maybe we can study that today.
All right, so let's dig then.
Because all these differing opinions, it's like they don't have scriptures. They really don't have scripture, but there are scripture which these people are not quoting, which I'm going to quote today.
Okay.
Okay, that's the difference. So, in Daniel chapter 8, God gives the prophet Daniel the location of Magog, the location of where the Antichrist comes from.
Daniel 8.
Yes. In Ezekiel 38, 1 to 6, God makes a map of the nations following the Antichrist, who is called Gog in Ezekiel 38,
yes.
Followed by a coalition of nations. And Gog is called Gog from Magog.
Yes.
You have Ezekiel 38 there?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead from the beginning then.
Ezekiel 38, 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him.
Okay, then go to verse 5.
Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee.
All right.
What about these countries?
See, verse also 7.
7. Be thou prepared, and prepare for thyself, thou, and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them.
Okay, verse 8.
After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them.
Okay, so it's saying here in the latter days, in the latter years, that God will bring Gog, which is a name for the Antichrist, a leader of Magog, into Israel, to invade Israel. And it will be followed, verse 5 and 6, by Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Togarma.
Mm.
It says Gomer and all his bands. Togarma of the north quarters and all his bands. So these two nations, Gomer and Togarma, they have bands following them.
Okay.
All right.
So they are bigger countries.
They are bigger countries, the main countries.
And like, all this, they follow the Antichrist.
They follow Gog, the Antichrist, but he is the leader of Magog.
Yes, we said that in verse 2.
Okay, so as you see, is depicted here as different nations, Magog and Togarma and all these things. So it cannot be the same nations. They're different nations following him. All right, so people
were... So who are they? Who are Gomer, Togarma, all these things?
Well, Togarma is Turkey. That's the old name. Gomer, if you see even a lot of maps, will show you, that's the Europe. Gomer was the son of Japheth, who colonized Europe.
And this is clear, yeah? There is no contradictions about this.
No, there's no contradiction. I mean, these people, in some maps, they are shown, they're all bunched up in Togarma, which is Turkey. That's why some people say, oh, okay, they're all in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but of course they're all in Turkey, because that's where the Ark land, the Noah's Ark, Mount Ararat, Turkey, and they were all there. They were all in Togarma, Turkey, because that's where the Ark landed. But they didn't sit around there. They spread all over the world.
Yeah.
Like many maps show, Gomer went to Europe, all right, and Central Europe, Germany. And Magog went to north of the Black Sea, which is the place which is today is South Russia. Okay, but these are just maps. But we are not going to base our faith on the maps, because maps are made by men. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the maps confirm the Bible truth, and this is where we want to go to today, to the Bible truth. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these opinions that you find around in the net, internet, they don't have scriptures. They just have a lot of very smart, intelligent, logical reasoning. But logical reasoning is not prophecy, it's not scriptures. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we go to some scriptures?
Yes.
Okay, Daniel chapter 8. Okay, we will start reading from verse 5.
Daniel 8, 5. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes.
Okay, as we will see, this is this goat, he-goat, represents Greece, and the horn represents Alexander the Great. Next.
And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. What is that?
Okay, this is the ram has two horns, and that's the kings of Media and Persia, or the kingdom of Medo-Persia, which the kingdom of Alexander the Great, Greece, destroyed. Mm-hmm. So this is what this prophecy is about.
Yeah, they conquered. Verse 7. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand.
Because Greece destroyed the kingdom of Persia. Verse 8.
Therefore the he-goat waxed very great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven.
So these are when Alexander the Great died.
Yeah.
Very young. His four generals divided his kingdom in four divisions. This you can check in any Bible dictionary. It's just history. It's known. Okay, next.
Verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, towards the south, towards the east, and towards the pleasant land.
Okay, out of one of these nations,
yeah,
the four divisions of
the Greek Empire,
okay, came a little horn, which became very powerful.
And who's that?
This is a personality. He became powerful toward the south, the east, and the pleasant land. These are, as we will see, this guy is the Antichrist.
How do you know?
Well, it explains as we read.
In the same chapter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can read verse 10.
Verse 10. And it waxed great even to the hosts of heaven, and it cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Okay. Wow, that's the devil.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Now, let me show you about... Jump to verse 20 and 21.
All right, verse 20. The ram which you saw having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. Ah, that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
It says the ram is Media
and
Persia.
Yeah, just like I told you. No, 21.
21. And the rough goat is the king of Grisha. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king.
That's it. So, you understand?
Yes.
So, the rough goat which destroyed the ram is the king of Grisha, of Greece. All right. And the great horn is the first king.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, that's Alexander the Great, when it got broken, we read his kingdom was divided to the four winds because he had four generals. That's history. It's confirmed by history.
Yeah, it says in the next verse, in fact.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
22. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power.
Understand, four kingdoms came from the kingdom of Greece.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this continues.
And then it jumps to the end time, right?
In
after.
The 23 and 24, you see it goes to the Antichrist. You can read that too.
And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up.
Okay, so in the latter times,
yes.
That's the end time, the time we're now living. A king of fierce countenance, that's the Antichrist.
That is the Antichrist.
Aduna is the Antichrist. 24.
And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people.
Okay, you understand?
Wow.
So this is the Antichrist. Now, let's go back again.
Yeah, it's obvious now.
Yeah, let's go back to the Antichrist again. So we read in verse 10 that this Antichrist, this little horn, threw down some of the stars to the ground. Verse 10, verse 11.
Yeah, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down.
So he's definitely talking about the Antichrist, yes. Daniel 9:27, when he will make a holy covenant for 7 years. In the middle of the covenant, he will stop the daily sacrifice, and then in Daniel 11:31, he will stop the sacrifice and place the abomination of desolations. Okay,
yes.
Which Jesus said in Matthew 24:15, when he see the abomination spoken by Daniel the prophet, flee, because shall be great tribulation. Matthew 24:15-21. Okay, and after the tribulation, Matthew 24:29 is the rapture. So we are talking here about the end time. We are talking here about the daily sacrifice, which shall be stopped by the Antichrist. The little horn is the Antichrist. Because
It's very clear.
Daniel 8:9, this little horn becomes big, becomes great. Verse 10, he throws down some stars to the ground. That's God's people. Okay, like you see in Revelation chapter 1 until 3, it says the stars are the angels of the churches, the pastors of the churches. So the stars are God's people. And then 11, did you read 11 yet?
No.
Yea,
he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down.
Okay.
Yeah, we did read.
So but it's important, this scripture, because he stops the daily sacrifice. This shows... is the same personality which in Daniel 11:31 stopped the sacrifice and puts the abomination, which Jesus said, okay, Matthew 24, when you see the abomination, flee, because then shall be great tribulation followed by rapture. So this guy is none else but the Antichrist, there's no doubt. The little horn is the Antichrist. 12.
And the host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered.
That's it. A host was given unto him. This is the host, the army, the military, the forces, which we see in Daniel 11:31. This host stops the sacrifice and puts abominations. In Ezekiel 38, they are spelled out.
Yeah,
Gomer and its band, Togarma and its band.
Ethiopia, Libya,
Persia. And also Magog.
Magog is his native place, no?
Where he comes from, or the main place that gives him power. Because it says the Gog of Magog, followed by Gomer, Europe, and his bands, Togarma, which is Turkey, and a bunch of Muslim nations around. Because Turkey is a big country; it's the most powerful, nations in the Middle East.
Yeah.
All right, and there are little nations which will follow Turkey. If Turkey goes to follow the Antichrist, there'll be little nations. Turkey was the main nation, the center of the Ottoman Empire. All right, so Turkey is very powerful. Right now it's in NATO, and it's a very powerful nation. Okay, so that's it. So these are the army, these are the forces which will follow the Antichrist. And now we will examine verses 8 and 9.
Yes, because now it's obvious we're talking about Antichrist, who is the little horn. But there is a mystery here to find out actually where he comes from.
Yeah, but before we explain that, let's make it clear who the little horn is.
But isn't it Antichrist?
Yes, exactly, which we did.
Yeah, we just explained.
Now that we understand that the little horn is the Antichrist, let's go and study where he comes from. Daniel 8, verse 9.
And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land.
Okay, out of one of them, remember we read the verse 8,
yes.
The Greeks, the empire divided into four kingdoms.
Yes, so the four generals.
Okay, the four generals, which are four kingdoms.
And which are those four?
Okay, so this is here is a prophecy by Daniel 550 BC. But right now, you can just double check any encyclopedia, even World, that doesn't have to be biblical, and it will tell you which these four kingdoms were. These are all everybody knows. Let's go to the Middle East here. You have a map there, right?
I'll open it.
So you see, let's start from Egypt. Egypt was the first divisions, which was led by one of the generals. The second division was Syria, The third was Turkey, and the fourth was Greece. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
And Egypt controlled Africa. Syria controlled Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, as it is known today. Mm-hmm. And there was Turkey, very important area, which is called Asia Minor.
Yes.
Very powerful area. And then the other was Greece, which controlled Europe, or at least the part of Europe which was known, which was South Spain, South Italy, and the nearby Black Sea, which if you have a map of the, an old map of the Greek Empire, you see that the Greece also controlled the north of the Black Sea, which is the area which is called the Magog. Okay, where, all right, which today it would be South Russia.
Okay.
That's why a lot of Bible students, in fact, almost all agree that Magog is the area north of the Black Sea, where the which in the old days was colonized by Greece, and today is south of Russia.
Okay.
But this is like just about almost everybody agrees. There is some dissident voice here and there, but they don't have any scripture to prove that it's not Magog, the north of the Black Sea.
Well, we need some scriptures too to prove it that it's Russia.
Okay, so let's come to that. So the scripture is actually Daniel 8:9, which we're reading right now. You see here it gives some three coordinates, three geographical direction that show where this little horn, the Antichrist, Gog, leader of Magog, is going to come from. So if we find out which of these four divisions, this Alexander Kingdom's division, okay, which of the four, this little horn that the Christ comes from, then we know where Magog is. Clear?
Okay, so okay. We're going to take these coordinates, south, east, and the pleasant land, and apply them to the
Four divisions of Alexander Empire.
All right, one by one. Yes.
Okay, because it says out of one of them, out of this four division, came a little horn.
That's interesting.
Which became strong and powerful in these three directions, south, east, and pleasant land. Pleasant land, of course, is Israel.
It's like discovering a riddle.
It's like a riddle. So it's like the Bible doesn't tell you the name, but it gives you a riddle, just like in Matthew 13, 9 and 10. Disciple asked Jesus, why do you speak in parable? People don't understand.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, because unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the others are not given. Matthew 13, 10, 11, 12, over there. That's what Jesus says. So it's all in parable. So the people who are not supposed to understand it, they don't understand. And God's people, you explain to them, and they will understand right away by the Holy Spirit. But some people don't want to understand, they will never understand.
Thank you.
So it's a choice, okay? Daniel 12, verse 4 and 10, it says, close the prophecies until the end time, and then it shall be open. The wicked will not understand, but the wise will understand. And now we're going to explain this for God's people. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, take the three coordinates and help me to figure out, let's start from Egypt, put the three coordinates in Egypt and see if they fit. Okay, let's imagine the Antichrist comes from Egypt.
Okay,
so read the coordinates.
So, waxed exceeding great towards the south, the east, and the pleasant land.
Okay, so toward the south, that's...
So if it's Egypt, towards the south is the rest of Africa.
Okay, of course it will grow towards Africa. Then toward the east...
Towards the east.
Okay, very well.
That goes also.
You can grow toward the east.
All Asia.
And then, what does it say?
And then toward the pleasant land.
Okay, so does that make sense?
Well, that would be two times east.
Okay.
Because so it's east.
Egypt is exactly, is like from Egypt, if the Antichrist becomes stronger toward the east, okay?
Yeah.
So it is not to say east and pleasant land because it's the same directions. You follow?
Yes.
Besides, it would also have to add north.
Why?
Because the Antichrist is powerful in the north.
How do you know?
Because in Daniel 11, from 21 until 45, he talks about the king of the north, which is the Antichrist, okay, who becomes strong and makes war against the king of the south, which is Israel.
Okay.
In Daniel 11, it's very clear that the king of the south is Israel. Of course, we know today that Israel is supported by America, and that's why the king of the south is Israel and America. They stand against the Antichrist. Not that America is no Antichrist, it's also Antichrist. It's a competitor. Okay. So the Antichrist is definitely the king of the north. Okay, do you want to go to Daniel 11 and read it, or you believe me?
No, I believe you.
Okay, so Daniel 11 starts from 21 until 45, talks about the Antichrist. How do we know that? We know by verse 31, because he places the abomination, which Jesus says in Matthew 24:15. When you see that, then it's great tribulation, and after that is a rapture. Matthew 24. Clear?
Yes.
Good. So it doesn't come from Egypt, does it?
No. Okay. Egypt falls through.
So go and take a look. What's next?
Syria.
Syria. Okay. So place your three coordinates there and see if the riddle fits.
So if he comes from Syria, he spreads towards the south.
Correct. No problem.
Yeah, that goes. Towards the east.
Toward the east.
That's Asia.
Okay.
And towards the pleasant land.
Does that fit?
Which is south of Syria.
Which is south of Syria.
So it's south again then.
You see? Exactly, south again. So it's like the pleasant land is south of Syria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so it doesn't go.
Yeah, it wouldn't say south, east, and south.
Plus it would say north. If he comes from Syria, he would have to say south, east, and north.
And why north?
Not because he's the king of the north.
Okay.
He comes from Europe, you understand? We also know this by Daniel 7, okay? Shall I explain about Daniel 7 a little?
Why does it come from Europe?
In Daniel 7, like just about all Bible scholars agree, because it's true, but Daniel 7 says that there are four beasts. The fourth beast is the kingdom of Rome.
Yes.
And that is...
That's clear.
Yeah,
there are four beasts. One is Babylon, one is Medo-Persia, then is Greece, and then is Rome.
Greece and Rome is the fourth beast. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we studied Daniel 7 before, it's absolutely clear. But then he says, on the head of the fourth beast, Rome, there are 10 horns, which are 10 nations, 10 kings, Daniel 7, 23 to 25.
Okay.
10 horns are 10 kings. And after the 10 horns, there is another horn that comes up, which is the same horn of Daniel 8.
Right.
And he takes them over, and destroys three of them. Okay, these 10 horns...
It says that between the 10 horns comes another small horn up?
After the 10 horns is another one. Among them, yes, in the same head.
So then we need to know where these 10 horns are, and we find out where the Antichrist is.
Well, it's on the head of Rome.
Ah, yeah, it's true.
Okay, it's very
simple. So the Roman Empire.
You can also see that in Revelation 17, there is a dragon, the devil with seven heads, the seven worlds empire, and it has 10 horns again.
Okay, you know what? I heard people saying that the Roman Empire was not only in Europe, but those 10 horns could be 10 Muslim nations that were part of the Roman Empire.
Of course, there are some Muslim nations were part of the Roman Empire, but they were just colonies. The Roman Empire really, the center was Rome, Italy, and then, of course, France, Spain, a little Germany, etc.
Yes.
No, the center of Rome is Rome.
Like the most powerful parts were there in Europe.
Of course.
Okay.
Besides these 10 horns being 10 Muslim nations, they cannot invade Israel, because Israel already fought a bunch of wars against all the nations, all the Muslims put together, and Israel always overcame them. Israel alone. Without America. Okay. But now, the Muslim nations are a little bit stronger now. All right, but America will stand up with Israel and defend Israel. So there's no way this Muslim nation could invade Israel. In fact, Zechariah 38 says clear, Gog from Magog followed by the Muslim nations, plus Gomer. Gomer,
okay, yes.
Many of you see, I mean, everybody will agree, Gomer is Germany and Europe. In mm-hmm. other words, at the 10 horns on the head of the Roman Empire, which give power to the beast. You see that in Revelation 17. The dragon, seven heads, 10 horns.
Okay.
And it says in Revelation 17:12, the 10 horns give power to the beast and follow the beast.
Okay, but you just said it. The proof is also in Ezekiel 38. It says Gomer will follow Gog. And Gomer being Germany, being in Europe, therefore in this prophecy, if it would be Syria or others, it should say also north, since Germany is following the Antichrist.
Exactly. But the main proof is in Daniel 7, that the 10 horns are on the head of the fourth beast, Rome, all right? And the little horn takes them over.
Yes.
So the 10 horns are in Europe, no doubt about
that.
Yeah, that's
clear.
Because the fourth beast has 10 horns and there are 10 kings.
Mm-hmm.
The same 10 horns in Revelation 17, parallel prophecy, they give power to the beast, to the Antichrist, and that's why it takes over the world, Revelation 13. Mm-hmm. It takes over the world, Revelation 13, verse 3, the whole world follows him. Okay? And that's it, everything. I mean, all the prophets really fits. And he makes war, Revelation 13, 7, makes war with the saints and overcomes them. He really goes goes exactly with Daniel 7 and 8. He makes war with God's people and he overcomes. It all fits together perfectly.
So, if the Antichrist would come from Egypt or Syria, the prophecy wouldn't only say south, east, and pleasant land. It would also say north, considering that the little horn that comes from the ten horns is there.
It's north.
Gomer, who follows the Antichrist, it's in north as well.
And also Daniel 11, it says he's the king of the north.
Where does it say that?
Well, in Daniel 11, verse 40, you can read.
Daniel 11. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over.
All right, so you see he overcomes, the king of the south, the king of the north is victorious, mm-hmm. and he continues until verse 45, where he plants his palace among the seas, he's the victorious king, which is destroyed only by Jesus Christ at Armageddon. He's talking about the Antichrist.
Yes, yes.
When he says him, it's all about him. The whole Daniel 11, 21 up, it's all about him, mm-hmm. the guy that puts abomination of desolation. He's the king of the north. He puts abomination of desolation, he's the king of the north. You can see the connection if you study the chapter. So he's called the king of the north. So if he would come up from Egypt or from Syria, okay, so he would have to say that he becomes strong toward the south, toward the east, and toward the north.
Yes, yes.
Because he takes over the ten kings from the Roman Empire.
Egypt and Syria fall through.
Right, exactly. So we go to the next one?
Yes, the next one we said is Turkey.
Turkey.
So
Asia Minor, Togarma, Turkey.
So he waxed great towards the south.
Yes,
the east.
That goes
also, the east is Asia.
Yes, and then?
And the pleasant land, which is again south.
So south, east, and pleasant land. So south, okay, that's correct. East, correct, it becomes strong to mm-hmm. take over the world. But it doesn't go with the pleasant land because pleasant land
again.
And south is the same direction.
Yeah. And like you said earlier, it should also say north, the same.
Exactly. And again, he will have to say north. This guy is going to control the world. In no way he can control the world, like it says in Revelation 13:3. The whole world follows him if he doesn't become strong to the north.
Yeah, in Europe.
Not just because it says in Daniel 11. But it says everywhere in the Bible, the Antichrist will control the world, mm-hmm, make mm-hmm. the New World Order, etc. So he will have to control Europe and Russia. So for sure, this prophecy will say south, east, and north. Okay, so we study so far three divisions, correct?
Yes.
So what's left?
It's left the one in Greece.
In Greece, let's go to Greece. So put the coordinates to Greece and see if it fits. Start again.
So the coordinates from Daniel 8. If it would be Greece that Antichrist comes from, then he would spread towards the south.
Correct.
Which is Africa. Towards the east.
Correct.
Which is Asia. And towards the pleasant land.
That's it. Does it fit pleasant land?
Well, yes. That's in southeast.
That's
yeah.
exactly in the middle. Of course it fits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's between south and east.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it does. So the prophecy, Daniel 8:9, fits only if it comes from Greece. Now, when we say Greece, we're not saying that it will... The Magog is in Greece. We are saying he comes from the division of the Greek Empire, which was Greece, but Greece comprehended South Europe, South Italy, South Spain, a little bit of part of France, mostly Spain. And if you look at the map, the Empire of Greece, you will see that the Greek Empire also reached north of the Black Sea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's exactly where Magog is, mm-hmm. south of Russia. So everything fits in perfectly.
Basically Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Basically Europe, Greece, Europe, north of the Black Sea, the Magog. Magog, which today is Russia. So when you say is a Gog from Magog, you're saying the leader of Russia. That's what you're really saying. 11th horn is Russia, which will take over 10 horns of Europe, get them together, Gomer and his bands, okay, get together with Magog, Russia, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, led by Gog and the Christ, all right? Joined by, it says, Togarma, Libya, Persia, and Ethiopia. In other words, all the Muslim country.
Yeah.
Also, it becomes powerful toward the east. What's east? China. Another very powerful atheistic nation, which you can see today, when it comes to politics, is always siding with Russia against America, mm-hmm, always criticizing Israel and standing with the Muslims. So traditionally and historically, China is always against Israel and America, and always in favor of Russia, moderately, because they also argue a little, but politically, no, they both have a communist background, and they're always inside the side of the Muslim, both Russia and China.
Yeah,
you got that?
Yes.
So if it's absolutely perfect, there is no doubt about it. This scripture really points it out. It gives you the coordinates. Okay, that Daniel 8:9 shows that the little horn Antichrist will come out of Alexander's empire's division, which was Greece, which was really Europe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just like Egypt controlled Sudan and Libya and down, and Syria controlled Iraq, Saudi Arabia, or Iran of today, and Turkey controlled the side of Turkey, of course. And then we have Greece, which controlled Europe and north of Black Sea, which was all the Magog, modern Russia. Amen.
Amen. This is good also because, as I understood now, it comes out that Magog is Russia, not just from this prophecy of Daniel 8 with the coordinates that we studied, but also because you proved it from Daniel 11. He is the king of the north. From Daniel 7, that he is the little horn that comes up from the Roman Empire, which Roman Empire was strong in Europe, even though there were some little countries that were colonized, Muslims, but yet the power was in Europe. And then you were giving us one more proof in Ezekiel 38 that Gomer follows the Antichrist. So obviously also Europe gives its power to the Antichrist.
Yeah, but stronger than Gomer, that's a little proof, the bigger proof, are the 10 horns on the head of the fourth beast, Rome. Now the beast was not Algeria, Libya, Egypt, Iraq, and Syria, and Turkey. Mm-hmm. The beast was Rome.
Yes,
it was Rome. So they're really stretching the imagination to get the 10 horns coming from Africa. It doesn't go with prophecy. Mm-hmm. It's the fourth beast, it says in Daniel 7, which will destroy everything. And that was not Northern Africa. Northern Africa were only colonies. They were subjects. They rebelled and separated anyway. And Rome continued without them. In fact, Rome, the geographical Rome exists until today. But Rome continued with the Holy Roman Empire, the Catholic Church, and until the 1500s, they were politically very strong, until the Renaissance. So all this country, this Muslim country, they were really not Rome. They were colonies. They were oppressed. Whereas Rome and Italy and around that, they were governing Europe and the world. So definitely the 10 horns are on top of Italy and Europe. Amen.
It's nice to see this in the Bible with scriptures because, like you said earlier, just to put your faith in the maps, I mean, you can find maps in favor of both. That is Turkey, that is Russia. So you don't know what to believe because people make the maps. But to see it in the Bible, it's clear.
Now, when the map corroborates and confirm what the Bible says, you better pay attention. Mm-hmm. But to base the faith on maps, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. The maps are made by according to the doctrines of the church the guy belongs to. However, there are maps made by all kind of religion, all kind of thinking, thinkers, and ideologists, different people, which they all kind of agree. Okay, they're not all made by a Bible society. These maps have been made by kinds of people through the centuries. Mm-hmm. People didn't agree with each other at all. And most of these maps, almost all, confirm Magog was north of the Black Sea and Russia of today.
And then also, there are people who say that you cannot base a Bible prophecy on the fact that people migrate, like on the bloodline of the people who colonize certain areas, because from there, these people move and they spread all over the world, and therefore the bloodline doesn't prove a prophecy.
No, bloodline, you can just forget it completely. Bloodline has nothing to do with Bible prophecy in this case. And you can just forget about it. Bible prophecy is not based on bloodlines. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's based on facts. For example, like this Daniel 8:9 we studied today, it gives you the exact geographical location. This is more than enough. In fact, this is a gift from God to give us this information. Of course, there are some people who wrote books, especially the Jews writing books. But the Jews, when they write a book about prophecy, they can never get to the truth because the dear Jews, they have something missing, Jesus Christ. And until then, they start believing in Jesus. And I can't think some names now, some dear Jews who are writing books, writing this and that, and selling books about saying that Magog is Turkey and stuff. But these people are not Christians, and so they don't have the backing of the New Testament.
So how do they prove it?
They don't have the tools or the prophecy of the New Testament. They don't believe in the book of Revelation. They don't believe in the prophecies of Jesus, Matthew 24, Luke 21, about the Antichrist, the tribulations, especially the book of Revelations. Book of Revelation is very, very specific, and it goes perfectly with the book of Daniel. So these people, these dear Jews, God bless them, I love the Jews very much. They're going to get converted to Jesus one of these days. But the Jews are the worst of all to teach prophecy because they don't believe in the New Testament. So if you don't believe in the New Testament, it's like, how can you believe in the Messiah if you don't believe in the New Testament? Impossible. So it's like the Old Testament are kind of a handicap prophecies without the prophecy of the New Testament. It takes both to make them fit. Mm-hmm. So these dear Jews who write about Magog being from Turkey, well, they don't understand the New Testament. How could they get there?
But I'm curious, do they use scriptures from the Old Testament to prove that Magog is Turkey?
Some of them, they're using like Ezekiel 38.
Okay.
And they use that. But Ezekiel 38, it doesn't say Turkey is Magog. Okay, there are some maps, old map, 2,500 years historical map that shows the situation of the world 2,500 years B.C. That was the year when the Ark landed on Ararat, Turkey, Togarma, Turkey. And this map show that in Togarma, Turkey, everybody was there. Gomer, Magog, everybody was there. Of course they were there. Mm-hmm. That's one reason why they say that Magog is Turkey.
But then it wouldn't go with the fact that he takes over the world, because the Antichrist cannot be powerful only in Turkey.
But the thing is that they don't understand exactly that Magog didn't remain in Turkey. It was in Turkey for the fact that they came down from the Ark, which landed on Mount Ararat, Turkey. But they didn't go to sleep there. They moved, colonizing, migrating all over the world. So if you see the following maps, the maps that show the progressive migration, you see that Gomer moved northwest Europe, Gomer. And Magog went north of the Black Sea. Okay, most maps show that. Because otherwise, who colonized Europe? It was Gomer. Okay, Gomer, Germany, from Germany, Europe.
So to prove that Magog is Turkey, they used scriptures from Ezekiel 38?
Well, they try to, but they don't make it, because Ezekiel 38, it doesn't say that. It says the opposite, that Togarma follows Magog, follows Gog and Magog. So it cannot be the same thing.
Okay.
What they base their teaching, so some of them, is that they teach it, they base it on modern Bible scholars. Modern Bible teaching.
So basically on the opinions of others.
On the opinion of modern teachers. Okay? And but it's like, it's wrong. It's like you cannot base Bible prophecies on the carnal brain, on the carnality of Bible teachers. You cannot base it on my carnality. You cannot base it on my brain. You cannot base it on me. Mm-hmm. But you can base it on the scripture, which I brought up. No, that doesn't mean your faith is in me. It's on the scripture. Never put your faith in me or anybody else. So these people, I heard there is one guy who writes books, a Jewish guy, and a sweet guy, but he's like, he cannot understand the prophet since he's not a Christian. And so he teaches that he believes that Magog is in Turkey because this is the thought of modernistic Bible teachers. Modernistic Bible teaching has a very bad reputation because usually doesn't go much with the Bible. Like right now, for example, in this case, it doesn't go at all. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. That was nice. And I praise the Lord for all the scriptures that bring light and clarity, because all these questions in our minds, they bring confusion. And, you know, you want to know where the Antichrist comes from, because that is very important. So I pray that we always have discernment and wisdom, and the Lord gives us the anointing to understand the Bible.
Amen. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord, for these dear people who write books and articles trying to prove prophecies to the right, to the left, Magog here, Magog's there, but they don't understand a lot of this Bible prophecy. And they are sincere, but sincerely wrong. Help these people not to base their teaching on modernistic Bible scholars, but to base it on the Bible. And they don't know the Bible. Help them to seek and search. I mean, there are so many things in the Bible I don't know, Lord Jesus. Help us all to go to the Bible, seek the Bible, search the Bible. Lord Jesus, like it says in Isaiah 8:20, to the law, to the testimony, to the word, to the Bible. If they don't speak like this, it's because there is no light in them. So, Lord Jesus, we cannot go to modernistic Bible scholars to prove our point. To the law, to the testimony,
Amen.
Isaiah 8:20.
Amen.
If they don't speak like this, there is no light in them. If we cannot prove our teaching by scriptures, there is no light in us. Only intellectualism, only smartness, which goes exactly the opposite of what it says in 1 Corinthians 1, that you have chosen the foolish things, the things good for nothing, to confound the wise, the smart. Lord Jesus, Lord,
Thank you,
I pray
Amen.
For these teachers and these preachers. I know, I repeat again, they seem so sincere, and I believe a lot of them are. Help them to come to you, get on their
Jesus
knees.
Name.
Help us all to get on our knees and seek you, find you, learn from you, and not to call anybody our teacher, our rabbi, our master, only Jesus, only the Messiah, only Christ. And go to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy
Thank
Spirit
you,
teach us and lead us. Lord Jesus, I'm nothing and nobody is anything. The Holy Spirit is everything. Lord Jesus, Lord, 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 help us,
Amen,
Lord.
Amen, Jesus. Thank
and bless each and every one who is really, sincerely seeking for your truth.
Amen.
And verily, anybody seeking with a full heart will find. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, protect us from deceits, Lord Jesus. We want only the truth, whatever it takes, whatever price we need to pay, we just want to follow the truth you give us. So, Lord, help us always to find the Bible scriptures to support the truth.
Amen.
And to believe only the truth, Lord,
Amen.
Whatever it takes.
Amen.
Lord, we want to belong to you. We don't want to be deceived in any areas of our lives.
Amen.
We don't want to follow the wrong person thinking it's from you, and then we find out it's the Antichrist because we had the wrong interpretation of the prophecies.
Amen.
Lord, protect us.
Protect
Lord, help us.
Lord.
Help us to have an open
Jesus
mind and
name.
Open heart. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
We love you, Jesus. We
Praise
belong to you. We give our lives to you. We dedicate everything to you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
We only want you. In Jesus' name.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love you, Jesus.
Nothing will I fear as long as you are.